This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
High and dry. So many of us at some point have been underwater, seriously flooding in Louisiana, Mississippi as it left Dallas. They're still doing the cleanup thing there. One woman was killed. In fact, she was an Uber driver trying to feed three kids, so she was out in it and unfortunately did not make it. My name is Kate Delaney. Once again, thanks so much for joining us here on this show. We got good news and we got some bad news. That's typical, right? It's kind of a snapshot of where we are in America. A lot of frustrations over still inflation and the cost of food and the supply chain woes. I can't imagine that there is any person listening to my voice that has not been affected by the supply chain in some way. I got a dinky piece of, it's not necessarily dinky, but let's just say I got on points. I got a piece of furniture, outdoor furniture. I'm not thinking anything about it. Who cares, right? In the big picture. But I got a notice today. Due to the supply chain woes, your furniture will not be delivered for 5 months. 5 months. Wow. That's a long time to wait. And the reason is because they don't have it. They don't have them in warehouses. Things are backed up. This is the world we live in. We knew it. There was a bottleneck after what happened during the COVID years. Notice how I say the COVID years, not like it's completely evaporated. It's just your choice. See what happens and fight it the best way you can by testing. People are testing at home and staying away from, in some cases, big events because they come back from them. And sometimes they have COVID, right? This has happened to a friend of mine who said, yeah, that's what you deal with. So I got infusions. I feel a little tired, but I'm okay. It's my second time having it. And he had to go to a big conference and dealt with a lot of different people. So he's on planes and he was in and around a lot of different people. Anyway, that's a story for a different time. It is the world we live in, like I said. This one might have escaped some people, but it is big news. Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, got 5 days in jail, 3 years of probation in a DUI. So he pled guilty Tuesday to misdemeanor driving under the influences. This was related to a crash in May in the wine country, and that's what happened. He served 2 days in jail. Got good conduct credit for 2 other days. The Napa County Superior Court judge ruled that he will work 8 hours in the court's work program in lieu of the remaining day. And he didn't appear in court because state law allows for DUI misdemeanor defendants to appear through their attorneys unless otherwise ordered by the court. But as part of the probation, he has to attend a 3-month drinking driver class and install an ignition interlock device where the driver has to provide a breath sample before the engine will start. He also has to pay about $5,000 in victim restitution for medical bills, lost wages, $2,000 in fines, which is a drop in the bucket for certainly the Pelosi's. The California Highway Patrol officers reported at the time he was unsteady on his feet, his speech was slurred, and he had a strong odor of alcoholic beverage. So that's what happened to him back in May. The crash happened about 10 o'clock in the evening, and they found him in the driver's seat of a 2021 Porsche, and the other driver standing outside a sport utility vehicle. So it's pretty lucky that you know, there was, first of all, there was injuries to the 48-year-old driver of the SUV. There's no history or known facts about this person, But except for that, they reported they had pain in their arm and right shoulder and neck after the crash. So that's obviously part of the deal there. But that's how it goes, right? Could have been much worse for the person in the SUV. That boy, that is for sure. The other thing I think that's buzzing across the land, of course, is the political game. Who's going to run against who? Because there are primaries that are happening, and we just had a couple of big ones, Florida, New York especially, and who was going to represent on the Democratic side. The Democrats picked Representative Charlie Crist to face Governor Ron DeSantis for the governor's office in Florida. That's in the November general election. Crist used to be a Republican, but then he jumped to the other side and became a Democrat. So there are interesting themes running through that race. DeSantis is incredibly popular, and he also wants to supposedly run for president. So that makes for another interesting piece to the story. He has a higher national profile besides the one he has in Florida. But as far as the GOP primaries, the Trump-backed candidates swept the Florida, Republican primaries. And the Trump-backed New York rep sailed through the GOP primary. So we're seeing more of the coattails, if you will, of the former president ever widening as far as the Republicans are concerned. This was an interesting race. In New York, Democratic Rep. Jerry Nadler defeated Democratic Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney. So how about that? That sets up for an interesting race in New York. And Val Demings wins her race, the Democrat, and is going to face the Republican popular Senator Marco Rubio in Florida. There's a lot of money that's been spent on that race on both the Republican side and on the Democratic side. And Republican Tara Sweeney ends the House campaign in Alaska. So there's people that are, saying, take it away. So that was versus Palin, Sarah Palin, and some others. So she's saying she doesn't see a path to victory. So that's one less person Sarah Palin has to get through. And she was pretty weak in any of the polling. So she knew that the handwriting was on the wall. She was fourth after last week's U.S. House primary as they continued to count ballots, far behind the top finishers. Of course, the Democrat Mary Peltola and Republican Sarah Palin and Nick Begich, who were already poised to really move ahead to the November general election. Be interesting to see if Sarah Palin prevails in Alaska and ends up getting a House seat. We're still a ways away from that, but you know how time flies. Before you know it, it'll be on our doorstep, and hopefully you'll be out there voting for whatever's going on in wherever you hail from, because there's always other things that are important when you talk about midterm elections. And it's, of course, the balance of the chambers that are hanging out there. That's why it's significant. And then what happens locally is pretty significant, too, I would say. All right, hang with us. I'll meet you on the flip side.
Let's face it, food shortages are a real threat now. Supply chain breakdowns, inflation, fuel prices, global conflicts, fertilizer cutbacks, farmers being encouraged not to plant. The stage is set for the peanut butter to hit the fan. But for some reason, Americans are still in denial about food shortages. Listen, we don't take risks with other things in our lives, so why take risks with your food security? Those who know what's coming are using today to prepare. Millions of Americans have purchased Ready Hour emergency food from My Patriot Supply, the brand people look for when they're ready for real preparedness. MyPatriotSupply.com is America's largest preparedness company. Get stocked up on emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage to get you through tough times ahead. Your other choice is to stand in government food lines, hoping for a handout. As we both know, that's not an option. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
John Gentura joins us now. He is the author of an interesting book called Persons of Interest. John, thanks for coming on.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
So what was it that led to writing this book? What was the motivation?
Basically, two main things were my activities in my life. And number one was golf. And number two, I practiced law for over 40 years. And after I retired, I started a lot more reading. And I kind of liked murder mysteries and romance novels. And I said to myself, why don't I try a stab at writing a murder mystery romance? And there grew the book Persons of Interest.
And so you have that idea in your head, you sit down, you go to write it. What was that process like for you?
It was pretty easy for me. I had already published two books on the history of golf, and I mainly read nonfiction as I was in adulthood, and my family suggested when I was retired that maybe I'd like to read some fiction. So I read some historical fiction, then I moved over to murder mysteries, and then I thought, I like books with happy endings, so that's what romance novels are. And I thought I had scratched my itch writing the two golf history books, but then another bee came into my bonnet, and I thought, I'll give a stab at this murder mystery romance. And 4 years later, here it is.
I love that you like murder mysteries and romance novels, and then you got pleasure from reading fiction. When you and I talked off the air, you talked about that. And then here
right.
You go, you dive into this, and then you pull it all together because the book, Greed, what a big motive that would be for murder. Then you've got romance in it, of course, and then there's the whole the idea of crime and punishment that's mixed into that. So tell us about the book.
Well, much of the action takes place in and around golf courses, and there was a woman who was a district attorney deputy, and she had a good friend who she played golf with, and his wife suddenly died of breast cancer. So she, being a matchmaker, set up a blind date with him and another young attorney in her office, and they started getting along pretty well. And then almost about the short time after that, she was sadly, brutally murdered at her golf course. And the new girlfriend of our hero was put on the team to investigate the murder. And the plots are two, the murder and the romance, and they both move along at a fairly good pace. And there are a bunch of persons of interest, and I'm not going to tell you if one of them was the perpetrator, but eventually the young attorney on her own figured out who was a prime suspect, and lo and behold, she turned out to be correct, and they solved the murder. And in the meantime, their romance blossomed, and toward the end of the book, they were pretty much in love, and I'll not tell you the end result of that either, but I did obtain my goal of A, solving a mystery, and B, having a nice romance blossom to its fullest.
I love that, you know, and the characters' names are Warren Wallace and Darcy McClellan, and I just like
yes.
the names, and I love the fact that you've got this exclusive country club on the main line just west of Philadelphia, because, as you know, I grew up there. I told you that, so the characters really jumped out at me, and for people listening, I think a lot of them are familiar with that area of Philly, or they've heard of it, so the idea that you used what you knew to golf, that had to be fun to put that into the middle of it.
Well, I should say that it must be pretty easy to write your first fiction book if you rely on autobiographical experiences that you have. And so a lot of the book is a mirror of me going to law school at Georgetown. I did, and so does our hero Warren. And he's a big Pittsburgh sports fan, which is what I am because I'm a native Pittsburgher and continue to root for those teams. And all of that just sort of seemed to flow very easily. I was almost like I said, writing an autobiography of myself through a fair bit, and it all kind of fell into place. And, we, like I said, solved the murder, and the romance blossomed. And it was a four-year project because I treated it as a hobby, meaning I would only work on the book 1 hour a day. And that's why it took so long to write it. But I enjoyed it as just one of my retirement life hobbies. And I was pleased with this book and with the two golf history books that I wrote.
Yeah, good for you. So what do you hope people take away from reading this book, John?
I've been asked that before, and I ask myself the same thing when I pick up a book, and I say, I hope it has a great plot or two or three, and that the characters are well-developed, so you get to know them, and at the end of the book, there should be no loose ends, and I humbly think that I did accomplish those things, and I've been asked, who do you think will read a book? And I said, a person of interest. Someone who likes murder mysteries would read it. Someone who's into romance novels could read it. And you could be a golfer or a non-golfer and still get, hopefully, a good bit of entertainment out of the book.
So I love it. Yeah. Perfect place to end this, right? So people, you just described it. It's a wide swath of people that could read the book.
Correct.
Yeah. John Gentura, again, Persons of Interest. You can get the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. John, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you again for having me, and you have a great day.
You too. As kind of a follow-up, we moved from the golf course and that interesting conversation with John. I love what he said. You're right about what you know about. So true. What do we know about UFOs? There was an addendum to the Intelligence Authorization Act for fiscal year 2023. So pay attention to this. It's a budget that governs America's clandestine services. Did you know there was a budget for that? Of course you did. And it produced this weird revelation that might be a curiosity or more to many of you, for all of us, when we think about UFOs, what does that mean? And this is what this was for. Congress doesn't believe all UFOs are man-made. So the report, which came out because of Vice.com, says that temporary non-attributed objects, or objects that are positively identified as man-made after analysis, are going to be passed to appropriate offices and shouldn't be considered under the definition as unidentified aerospace undersea phenomenon. That leads to another weird thing about this IAA report. The U.S. government acknowledges cross-domain transmedium threats to the United States national security are expanding exponentially. So what does that mean? What is a cross-domain transmedium threat? So let me cut through the jargon for you. It means objects that can move from water to air to space in ways that human beings might not comprehend. Oh, you mean a UFO? So in July, the Pentagon did announce the opening of the All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, the acronym AARO, to investigate the versatile threats. And they also reported, Vice in their report, reported that legislation would be reclassified unidentified aerial phenomena, as I was talking about. And it's in line with this new designation from the Pentagon. Remember, it was just last year there was a leaked video that was confirmed by the Pentagon as being authentic that appeared to show a UFO flying beneath the waves. And the Department of Defense has reports covering more than 100 UFO sightings. So, I mean, look, we look at them. What do we decide? What do we acknowledge? What are people encountering? It's very curious, right? I mean, even Senator Marco Rubio from Florida, the vice chair of the Senate Select Committee overseeing intelligence that issued the IAA report, has previously said he prefers future UFO encounters be aliens and not foreign weapons. Ay, 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 ay. Think about that for a few minutes.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News.
U.S. Representative Charlie Crist has won the Democratic nomination for governor in Florida, putting him in position to challenge Governor Ron DeSantis this fall. The 66-year-old Crist defeated Nikki Fried in Oklahoma. U.S. Representative Mark Wayne Mullen won Tuesday's GOP primary runoff. It makes him a likely favorite to win the seat. U.S. Senator Jim Inhofe is leaving early after nearly 30 years in office. The Washington Examiner reports that President Joe Biden's sinking approval rating is slowly rising, just in time to begin a national 2022 election trip. Rasmussen reports said Biden's average has moved up to 47% approval, the best the president has seen since September of last year. You're listening to USA Radio News. Problems at the U.S. southern border continue. Tim Berg reports.
Thousands of illegal immigrants continue to enter the United States through the southern border. Alongside the asylum seekers, drug cartels also smuggle drugs across the border as well. Florida Republican Congressman Michael Waltz tells Fox News that the only way to end this crisis is to involve the military.
This is a clear and present danger to the stability of our country. Americans are dying by the hundreds of thousands.
The cartels manufacture fentanyl and counterfeit pills to make it resemble Xanax, Adderall, or oxycodone. Fentanyl is driving the major increase in overdose deaths in the United States in recent years.
Higher education is coming with a higher price tag. My e-learning world shows the cost of attending college in the U.S. has ballooned by multiple times the rate of inflation over the past 50 years. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
All right, you're going to love our next guest and her partners with her as well. Carrie Schuster joins us, and she joins us from Australia, and she's written a book called How to Get Your Partner to Listen to You. How many times do I hear that from people, that you're not listening to what I'm saying? He never listens, she never listens, they never listen, whatever it is, whoever your partner is. And geez, how key that is. So I was really excited to have Carrie on, because I talk about listening, and I think it dovetails into, she goes deep into other areas that I don't talk about, that I've talked about on stages. And I think it's quite powerful. I mean, I'm going to just go out there and say, of all the books that I've read in the last year, this is in my top 10, that you have to get this. You have to get this, because it's so frustrating to have a great partner, but see that it starts to fall apart. And all of it is because you keep walking down this path where you're not paying attention, where you're not looking for cues. And Carrie gives you great ways to do that, that's for sure. So, Carrie, thank you so much for coming on. And I want to give a big shout out to Rodney Elson as well, because he's with us. Hi, Rodney.
How you going?
Hi.
I love
thank
that.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, that tells you something about this relationship. So, Carrie, why did you write the book? What made you decide, I'm going to write this book?
I was often talking with clients and even people. I'm a designer dressmaker, and so people are always telling me their heart stories. And they often, this theme kept happening of, I can't get him to listen to me, or I can't get her to listen to me, or I can't get my kids to listen to me. How do I get them to listen to me? And as it just kept going on, I felt like I needed to write some sort of a tool book or something where there was just these simple dot points that people would go, oh, yeah, I could try that. Oh, yeah, I could try that. So I began writing something like a PDF download. And as I continued to write, it turned into a little bit more. It got a little bit bigger and probably a little bit bigger than actually a download. So I looked into the whole publishing side of things and had it published.
And what I like is you just tell us flat out how to get your partner to listen to you. So how do you get Rodney to listen to you?
I definitely look for timing. Timing is probably one of the biggest and greatest keys that I tend to really share with people. There's non-verbal and verbal cues, so you can actually hear from within when it's the right timing. And also logically, one of the key things is to, when your partner gets home from work, not to just launch into some intense conversation as soon as they walk in the door, or, you know, start throwing demands or whatever. It's about timing, like allowing them to have some breathing space for 10 minutes or half an hour, depending on the person, and, you know, allowing the, and being patient, knowing that when you're here to say something, they'll be ready to hear. They'll be ready to give you all of who they are, because I've had some breathing space to settle back into this flow in the home from coming in from where they were out in the world. So timing is a very huge thing, and I very much look for that with Rodney. He has a lot going on with his work mentally. He's on the computer all day and talking with lots of people all the time. So I'm very mindful as to when it's the right timing to speak with him, because I want his full attention. So I'll always look for those cues, and when he's ready, I can see it and feel it.
Oh, that's such great advice. I think that is like 90% of what people don't do, and you certainly have seen it. And as you said, being a dressmaker, all that conversation, all the things that happened, and there was the necessity for it, and I think that drove you to write this, and you've said that. Rodney, for you, and both of you were in other relationships in your lives, what's been the hardest part for you to learn along your journey with Carrie?
Learning to listen, learning to stop what you think you need to be doing, or directing, having your own agenda, I guess, is probably more to the point. Coming into a conversation with your own agenda instead of finding out what the other person is really meaning and what they're trying to tell you. And that only comes about by listening. So it's sort of, if you can go in with no agenda and then you listen, everything unfolds. Then you actually see this, you start to see the other person for what they need to say, which then makes you be able to look at how you can come up with solutions, how you can help them with whatever they need to know. I think that's one of the keys is no agenda in a conversation.
Yeah, that's good too. That piggybacks on what Carrie was saying for sure. Carrie, what do you hope people take away from reading the book overall? So they read the book and they get all these, I call them really solid tips. It's more than tips, but the philosophy, the examples, that whole kind of thing. What do you hope they take away from reading the book?
To begin to really listen to themselves, to notice those cues that are going on inside of them and hear them for what they really are. And be able to allow their life and their love to flow out from there. Because often we're focusing on the partner to fill us up, to deal with stuff and to, you know, look at me, instead of realizing that they're our mirrors. They were drawn to us because there were qualities in them that are in us, but we haven't noticed them in us, but we've certainly noticed them in them. So, and I believe that we have people in front of us who are mirroring, you know, good and bad, but mirroring so that we can recognize, okay, that's what not to do and that's what to do. And so alongside of that is to alongside of what Rodney said as well, is when people are talking with one another, we're very easy to bring the history, the past. So it's like this big wardrobe just brought in and sits right in between you. So, oh, he's going to think this, or she's going to say that, or they're going to do this. And you've got this expectation over the conversation that hasn't hardly even happened yet because of previous things, instead of just being present. Be present right here, right now. You're in front of me. I'm looking at you. I'm giving you my full attention. You're giving me all your full attention. I want to hear what you're saying. I want to hear from your heart. I want to hear, I want to see your face. I want to look at you, not your phone. I want to see these aspects about who you are and really hear what you're trying to say to me. Even if you can't even properly express it between you, if you're both listening, you can actually thrash it out together. One of the things that I said in my book, which was really key too, was when Rodney and I first met, because he'd been so hurt, he really shut down in his emotional being. And when we used to have, we'd have massive long conversations on the phone on a daily basis, and I would say to him, oh, so how did you feel about that? Oh, I don't know. And I said, oh, well, did you feel butterflies, or did you feel angry, or did you feel, what did you feel? And as we started exploring some of those sort of unusual feelings that he had not sort of entertained the words for, couldn't connect the words and the feeling, and oh, so that's what that means. Oh, frustration. Oh, that's nervousness. Oh, that's fear. Oh, you know, and what aspect of fear? When you can explore those things together, getting to know each other through all of those things, putting words to certain feelings that I found that us women seem to be very articulate in the emotional side of things, which men aren't necessarily fully equipped that way, and that's why we get to walk together on the earth and share those things with them. And so, you know, Rodney would often say, oh, so that's what that is. Yeah, that's what that is. So just next time you hear, feel that, that's potentially what that is. So those things were really, they were huge. They were huge in our relationship, and I know that they you know, lots of men clients that I've dealt with, it seems to come up again and again and again, that they don't understand that sort of articulated word, or that they're used to in their logic, what the emotion is with that, and how that all flows, and how that connects, and then how do we respond with that, how to react with it.
Wow, so well said. I we're like almost out of time, but I have to ask you this. How empowering is it for you to do what you do and then to have written this book?
Oh, I feel really blessed. I feel like this book has flowed through me. So here I am talking to you on the other side of the world, which just amazes me, and thank you very much for us inviting me and us. This book has been a privilege to be able to share, and if the whole world got a hold of this, oh my goodness, how could it change? It would change so many relationships on this earth.
Yep, yeah, I love it, and it's a perfect place to end this. This is why you have to get this book, How to Get Your Partner to Listen to You. Carrie Schuster, thank you so much. Rodney Elson, thanks for being along for the ride too and throwing in your 2 cents. It was valuable. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've been interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. Simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
Are you watching your retirement savings melt away right in front of your eyes as the economy crumbles? Well, if you have an IRA, 401k, or similar account, I need to tell you about a better way that was revealed by a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Simply put, you can opt out of the insanity and convert your existing retirement account into the most stable physical asset in history, physical gold and silver. Plus, this conversion might qualify you for an IRS loophole that could save you even more. Today, Advantage Gold is giving away a completely free audiobook version of the national bestseller, Gold is a Better Way. Just text the word better to 48542 to get your copy. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. By the time you drive home, this simple step may save the future value of your retirement. It's not too late if you're not prepared. You can take action now and claim a free copy. Text the word better to 48542. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. Message and data rates may apply.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire.
Introduce you to Terrell Foxworth. He has written a very interesting book called Chasing Flames. He's in our virtual green room, so we're going to go to him now. Terrell, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. Good morning.
So you and I had just a wonderful off-air conversation, and we talked about, you know, why you wrote the book. We talked about all kinds of things that you were doing and maybe what the future holds, too. I mean, you have seen some things in your life, you know, whether we're talking about firefighting, whether we're talking about being a carpenter. And I think your experiences really, in a sense, kind of came out in your work in Chasing Flames. So why did you write Chasing Flames?
It's always hard to explain. That question always gets me stuck because I just wanted to share the knowledge of controlling your mind state and getting what you want out of life. And for some reason, firefighting just kind of made it all come together.
Yeah, why do you think that is? Was it purpose? Was it having to be so focused? Do you think some of that plays into that?
Absolutely. Being focused on that fire line, trying to make sure that you go home safely, learning the fire line. It was kind of a life-changing learning experience that I took in. I didn't just use what I learned on the fire line. I took it with me wherever I went from that point.
Yeah. Let's talk about you being a firefighter and how that happened. What was it like? You know, we all have I live down the street from a wonderful fire department, and I see what they do and what they go through, and I've talked to many of the firefighters.
What was it that drew you to that in the first place, and what was it like in the beginning?
It was one of the opportunities that I had. It wasn't many opportunities that was set before to me, so I took it, and it was very challenging just to get there because you have to be in tip-top shape, and we had to get trained and take all these physical tests on top of written tests also. So you had to learn a lot, obtain a lot of knowledge, and be able to pass the test mentally and physically.
Yeah, and that probably, I mean, that really strengthened your mind, I'm sure, when you talk about the mental part. And how heavy is the gear? I think people don't realize what it's like.
Oh, yeah, there, I believe it was maybe just by itself, you were at like 60 pounds, and that's just with the water, the backpack, and your fire shelter.
Wow. And you see, I mean, we see so many wildfires. We see what's happening with fires, and you really, truly know what that's like to work with other people. What did you learn about working on the fire line?
For one, like you said, working with other people, it was so many different nationalities, personalities, so many different people that you ran into that you probably wouldn't normally run into, and to have the ability to communicate and get the job done together was always a challenge.
Yeah, and you have to do that because your life is on the line.
Your life is on the line. Their life is on the line. And we're also, the community. Wherever we're at, it's not just about us. It's about the people that live there, people whose homes are there, you know,
yeah.
Their life, their history.
Oh, I like how you said that, their life, their history, you're protecting that and them. What was it like in the whole aspect of the people, the community? How rewarding was that for you to help people, to save lives?
The smiles on their faces says it all. You know, the waving, we love you, thank you. That was so amazing. That experience was, that's not something that comes around every day.
Yeah. So it's interesting because there is so many lessons that people are listening to us, and you think about firefighting and firefighters, and your book is so perfectly titled Chasing Flames, and what you learned from that. You learned about teamwork and dealing with people that were completely different than you, helping other people. And was there that sense of satisfaction of completion of a job well done when you were able to really put fires out?
Absolutely. It became more than just a job. It was almost as if it was my life, my home or my town that was in jeopardy.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, call us, put us out there. Let us go do it. We will get it done.
Yeah. We're speaking to Terrell Foxworth, and his book is Chasing Flames. Did you ever think growing up that you would be a firefighter?
Not at all. Not once.
And you did it. But when you, if we go back to the beginning again, and when you graduated, so to speak, and you became, because lots of people don't get to that point. They're interested, but they can't do it. They can't carry the weight, or they can't get the written part done, or they can't deal with the mental aspects, like you said. Once you went through firefighting school and you graduated from that, what was that feeling like?
I mean, I guess you would say it's like any graduation, any achievement in life. You're right. It was people that couldn't do it. People that just gave up. But there was those that did it. And when you did you became closer with that group that you graduated with. You guys made it to the next level.
Yeah, and you made it to the next level. What do you hope people take away from reading Chasing Flames?
I'm hoping, for if it's just one person, that they understand that you have the ability to do whatever it is you choose in life. It's not going to be easy, but there are utensils, tools that will help you get there. If you want it, you dig for it, you search for it, it will come. But it all starts within yourself. You have to want it. You have to think it. You have to search for it. And it will come to you if that's what you want.
Boy, and that's what you did in chasing flames. Once you're in a fire department or several departments or you've been a firefighter, you're always part of that brotherhood and sisterhood now too, right?
Absolutely. Even when I see a fire on TV, I want to know what's going on. It's not that easy to just go out there and find out personally, but now I'm paying close attention, and when the conversation is being spoken, the fire jumped the line, or the containment, I understand, and I'm paying more attention to. Usually, I would hear it, and I would just, you know, that's hey, now it's oh, okay. They're up there. Okay, that's heavy timber, or that's light flashy fuels, or that's gonna burn real fast, or we got the wind, Santa Ana winds coming. I'm paying attention to those type of things now.
Yeah. And you know, too, being on the Pacific Coast, how we've seen in the West how deadly these fires are.
Absolutely. And that was the thing. I always seen it on the news, but to get up there and experience it, I really want to share with the world what it's like up there. But I didn't want to just make it about firefighting because the things that I learned in firefighting, and like I told you, it's everyday life. Like, first of all, safety's first. It's always safety first. We all got a spark inside us, and that flame get to going. How are you going to deal with it? Are you going to be able to contain it? Are you going to be able to prevent it? Or are you going to just self-destruct? It's really amazing how I looked at it. I don't know too many people have looked at it the way I do, but I look at it as fighting fires, just like my waking up every day and going out in the world and living my life.
Yeah, and I think there's great wisdom in this, and you're right, in taking what it was that you learned and how you can apply it. It's not just about your story. That's the brilliance of it. It's about so much more than that and about how you can apply what Terrell has learned for sure. You can, of course, get the book, like I mentioned, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, great bookstores. Thank you so much for coming on.
I appreciate it. I enjoyed it.
Those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com, I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.